Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together.
Walking on a dream. How can I explain?
Well, once again, everybody. Jeff, of course, Mike Luby Lewis with you, 940 Winds, 1230 The Zone, around the world on the iHeartRadio app. So, of course, I get a text here from the Mustang after that rather negative portrait that we painted of marriage and the prospects with Luby less than 2 months away from tying the knot again. And, I gave an accurate characterization of what goes on, and she was not happy with my remarks there. Saying that you're assuming that somebody that you're married to for a period of time probably isn't listening to the show anymore, right? Because they know, a lot of this stuff is utterly ridiculous, no? And the Mustang on her way to the tennis court caught that whole bit about rearranging the stuff, the constant stream of instructions. I don't think I was making it up, though. There was nothing inaccurate in what I said. This wasn't like the Inquirer talking. Yes, Martians invaded. No. The Inquirer did in Tiger Woods, huh? Unbelievable sabotage job they did on Tiger Woods after he cooperated with them and appeared on one of their co-owned magazine covers so they would bury the story about the Perkins waitress. And then they followed him from then on and waited till they had the most scathing and just damaging indictment of his philandering. And that really did him in. That's how the whole Yucatel thing was exposed. And very interesting, the documentary, Armin Katayan on that. Watched the second part of that. I actually turned off the game, Luby, so I could watch this as it occurred.
Wow.
Even though it would have been very easy to just tape the thing and watch it at another time, I was that anxious to see the second half of the Tiger Woods documentary. I recommend it 1,000%. Very interesting, and I think a very fair portrait of Tiger Woods. Am I being naive just because Katayan was on the show for 20 minutes last week?
Well,
I don't think so. And I love documentaries of any type, and sports documentaries that are well done. I mean, no matter what, I know people were trashing that whole Jordan thing, but I thought it was fascinating, didn't you? Mike Luby Lubitz?
I watched that. I got into it, but it definitely did have a Jordan hue. If this doesn't have a Tiger hue, good. That's the point of a documentary, is that it's supposed to be honest. Like, it's supposed to be real. And when you get some of the times the biographical or autobiographical documentaries, there is sort of a lean where you're like, okay. You know, like, I like the ones where it's like, all right, they're honest. That's the thing about, and it's what I asked Armin about. Like, we know the Tiger story. Like, what does his agent want? We know how it happened. It happened in front of our faces. So, like, you couldn't lie about things. It would be a total bogus documentary if you, well, he was just this magical guy. He wasn't. He went through a lot of crap, and he did seemingly come out the other side, and that's a very interesting story to tell.
There was a little bit of that redemption angle in there, I felt also, and you have seen a difference in Tiger Woods, at least peripherally. He's still not the most wide open of people to get to know, but the way that he was brought up and all of the business that it took for his father to, mold him into what he became, the greatest golfer of people could argue of all time. They might still put Big Jack up there because he had the 18 majors and Tiger only got to 15, but how he got to 15 is just incredible. And I thought it was an interesting portrayal of the psyche that we would be hard pressed to be familiar with, which is that psyche you need to be at the very top of your game in a highly public profile position there. the greatest golfer in the world, and everybody wants a piece of you, and it's easy to get a piece of everybody else. And I guess, you know, the peace correlation there, I should probably drop it right there before we get into that sexual double entendre. But and we don't like to travel into that turf. I mean, you know, this is a classy show, first-class show, and we know kids are listening. But nonetheless, I thought it was a great portrayal of what it was like to kind of experience a little bit of what it was like to be Tiger Woods and what shaped him and kind of molded him in the directions that he eventually took, and to see him come back and win the Masters, obviously one of the great, if not the greatest comeback story of all time. I mean, you could go Cinderella Man, right, but that's not as familiar a story, and certainly James J. Braddock was not as high profile of an athlete as Tiger Woods was and is.
Well, no, if not for the comeback, steroids, yeah. I would have said Lance Armstrong. I mean, he had cancer and was supposed to be really bad.
Right there, yeah.
But then he also was a cheater and a scumbag.
The juice, yes.
So that's
wasn't a very nice guy. And Tiger, you know, had a very—I mean—was as cold-blooded as anybody, and I remain so to a certain degree. The interview with Steve Williams, his former caddy, longtime caddy, who a lot of people thought was just an honorary SOB.
Yeah.
And yet he comes off very well in his thing. I mean, maybe that's something that pissed off Steinberg, the agent. Because there was that definite acrimony at the end there, and but Woods had a habit like if it was over, it was over. He never spoke to you again, no matter how close you were, and that was evidenced. He left a trail of those kind of relationships, which were very stunning to the people that thought that they were actually close to Tiger Woods. Very, very cold in that regard, and you know, so that wasn't particularly flattering. But we'll see. Maybe he'll be able to repair some of those relationships and mend those fences if that's something he wants to do. Fascinating, though, HBO documentary, Tiger Woods, Armageddon. Great job being with us on the show. Now, we had the round robin there. I mean, it was unbelievable. A great round of football games, divisional playoff games. Not a round robin, but it would be interesting if, you know, you could see some of these teams in other spots. Cleveland, though, that was heartbreaking for me. Cleveland, KC, when I saw Chad Henne out there, I thought I was in there with a chance. When Cleveland got the ball back, what did they have, about 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter, something like that, maybe more, and they had a chance to take the lead if they could have driven it down for a touchdown.
And, well, even before that fumble, the touchdown that they had where they were going to be in with a shot where the guy fumbles it, like, which would have changed the game entirely. The guy had a clear shot. He got hit.
Right, Rashard Higgins.
Yep, yes, he got hit, but he shouldn't have fumbled it. You would think he's going to score the touchdown. That
was Ernest Biner.
Sort of ended everything. I mean, like, and even after that, it felt like the way the Chiefs' defense was sort of a sieve, that they still had a shot, the Browns. It would have been a whole different. I mean, it would have been really scary for the Chiefs if he had gotten that touchdown.
The Chiefs' defense did rise to the occasion, though,
at the end,
in the critical moments, and stopped Cleveland and forced a punt, which was kind of an odd thing. I guess if you were going by the normal, typical, traditional strategies and clock management, you had time to punt the ball, and you were going to go against Chad Henne, who did move the ball for the Kansas City Chiefs. So even though you want to pick out that one horrible interception he threw where he overshot the arena, right?
He just missed the guy by like 5 yards. That was my thing. I don't even mind the decision. If you're with Patrick Mahomes, it had like a first down. You had a chance to run clock. They had been running the ball pretty well. So to me, whether it was Henne or Reed, whoever called that, Bieniemy, you were giving Henne a lot of credit. And the way he threw it demonstrated why I would not have called that. But again, it's why they ended up winning. They had gusto. They went for it. And you had Henne running on 3rd and 14, getting 13 yards. And then on 4th and 1, they went for it. And Henne made a nice decision, a nice pass, and an easy first down. So you have to, I guess you can't have one way or the other. If you're going to be aggressive and end up working out for them in the end, it just, that pass was real, real bad.
Took a shot. I mean, you have to admire the guts, the courage there to take a shot with a backup quarterback who nobody's expecting to throw the ball and hadn't completed a pass since 2014, something like that. And you know, it was like Tannehill when he was a Dolphin, could overthrow Putin and the Russian government single-handedly. Amazing. Buffalo Bills prevail. Kind of a dull effort offensively. Josh Allen, Gyroscope City, again with the football, as his passing accuracy has not been as astute as it was throughout most of the season. Nonetheless, 17-3 over the Ravens. Buffalo KC next week. Mahomes in doubt. And Green Bay, I have to say, Louie, they look great. I mean,
yes.
they look like the team that was going to win the Super Bowl, did they not? I know that's easy to say. Number one seed, they knocked off the Rams. Rams were on the road again in the playoffs. I'm not sure what the significance of that is, but it can't be easy, especially COVID-19 restrictions in place. I mean, you're not facing some super loud crowd like you would be in Lambeau or at Lambeau.
No. But the weather will be ridiculous.
But you're still traveling 2 weeks in a row in the playoffs, yep. That can't be that easy, especially with the way things are going right now. Tampa Bay, a little bit of a surprise there. No Tampa Bay over New Orleans. Many people thought Drew Brees would prevail there. He has a horrible game, picked off three times. Another fumble, four turnovers for the New Orleans Saints sink them and their chances again this year as they lose at home with a chance to go to the championship game.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Into the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady. The storyline continues. How many years have we declared Tom Brady a shot fighter?
2010. Like since we started. I mean, maybe not since we started, but I would say since 2012 to 13. I feel like it's at least 8 years where we thought he was done. Like for sure.
Is he shooting Botox or something? What is he doing? I mean, the guy looks younger today. Is he using that
cantaloupe serum? He eats avocado and kale. He doesn't eat anything. Like
Dr. Savant?
Yeah, exactly.
That's it? I mean, he's using that Cindy Crawford skincare thing that Jersey Kyle was on there for a while, which, by the way, Jersey, you don't look any younger, my friend.
Well, that's mean. He's trying. He's in love.
I know he's in love. I know. It's crazy. His selection didn't do well this week, although he was in there with a shot. I tell you what, got buried in the stretch. Was on the inside. Looked like it might be in a position to make a move. Don't know that it was going to win the race, but ended up, like fifth non-menacing. Might be a horse to bet back. His selection that he gave out this week was the one ball in the 11th race at Gulfstream Park on the Saturday card, which was spectacular. Pegasus this week at Gulfstream Park, so a lot of good things happening on the sporting landscape here in town. Green Bay, Tampa Bay, Kansas City, Buffalo for the championship. The Heat in action this afternoon. I'm thinking what? I mean, in what kind of shape did the Pistons show up this afternoon? I can't buy that they stayed in the hotel the entire weekend.
No, there's no way.
And never left to go outside. Are you kidding me?
No way. They had a big win Saturday for a team that only had, two wins prior to that? So they get their third win of the year on the road, Saturday night. They have Sunday off. Oof, I don't know. That doesn't bode well.
What's the fancy schmancy Coconut Grove Hotel where visiting teams used to stay? What is that place? Do they still stay there?
I know the Fountain Blue, but that's on South Beach.
No, but this was some fancy schmancy place. Maybe somebody knows the answer to that.
Yeah, I don't know the
name escapes me. Coconut Grove. Right? Wasn't that where a lot of visiting teams stayed? I mean, it's like really upscale. This place is great. And think about where you are. And still with proximity to South Beach and all of the stuff and the enticements down there for NBA players. Young NBA players from Detroit.
Yes, exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen.
From a city that's a disaster. Like, it's got to be ridiculous right now to be in Detroit. Like, the cold? Oh, my God. No way.
After the parade in Animal House, I don't think the Pistons will be in any better shape than Niedermeyer and Company were. I mean, they have to be just absolutely out of it this morning. And getting ready to play the Heat this afternoon at 3 o'clock on a Martin Luther King Day special, American Airlines Arena. Are the Heat allowing any access for fans? I know they had some family and friends in there. The Panthers got their season started last night, finally, after a couple of games were postponed with COVID-19 considerations. I don't think those were COVID-19 considerations that affected or impacted the Panthers.
A friend of ours has been giving me, sort of mocking it, and he's not wrong. Like, they felt the need to let people know they're going at 25%, and it's like, so what is the normal reason? You have that kind of a crowd.
It didn't look a whole lot different. I guess for an opening night, it was probably a little bit off, but didn't look a whole lot different than it did on a regular night. The Panthers, though, winners.
Yes.
Joel Quenneville looks like he's aged 30 years since he took over the coaching reins here. Does he not? He's got that Hubie Brown syndrome working right now. I don't know. It's been a rough start to the season here, but he gets off to a nice 5-2 victory Airman Bobrovsky was not in the pipes last night. I think he's still out with something. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but I know it hurts.
He lost his vision.
Oh, you think it's blurred vision?
I don't know.
What about the James Harden debut, too? That was another thing that kind of slipped through the cracks on the program today.
They look good.
He looks like he's operating in slow motion, though, doesn't he? Does he have a little pot belly working there from his desire?
He's in horrible shape.
To get off the
Skolnick talked
Rockets?
About it when we had him last week. He's like, even when he looks, even when he's overweight as he is now, he can put up 30. And he doesn't look in great shape. It's like he really went all in on get me out of Houston. He did whatever he could to get out of Houston.
Remember in Raging Bull when De Niro puts on all of that weight in between fights and the mafia guy says to him, hey, Jake, you look like you put on a few. And he says, I'll take it right off. But he had that kind of pot belly working where it was very pronounced. James Harden making his debut with the Brooklyn Nets. Kyrie Irving, the Kanye West with the jumper. I think that you're going to hear that at some point during the year. Do you think subliminally slips inside Ian Eagle's mind and he blurts it out?
If he wasn't their broadcaster, I could actually see it. But the problem is he is the voice of the Nets. Like, I could see him doing a TNT broadcast and being like, some have said he is the Kanye West of the Kanye West of the NBA. That would be amazing if he actually would do that. I just don't see him as the Nets guy doing that.
It happens, though, where somebody puts this suggestion in your head. If you're doing live TV and you have, I remember working with this director slash producer who had a Joe Pesci-type speech pattern. Every other word was an expletive.
Oh, jeez.
And the guy would start screaming, and he was very volatile also. I don't know. He might have been doing a lot of cocaine back in the day there in the truck. I'm not sure what was going on. But and he would start just cursing and swearing while you know, you were off mic or you know, feeding you stuff in your head as you were talking at different times. And your temptation is to say that. I mean, it happens, Luby. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation where somebody says something to you and you start just babbling those same words out there. You're like, what? It's enough to do you in. But, we'll see what happens if he uses that reference. I hope it doesn't finish him. Ian Eagle, imagine. Well, he made a reference to Kanye West, and obviously that'll be interpreted as some kind of racist remark somehow. Well, you watch. All right, back with more in a moment. I'm Jeff DeForest. He's Mike Luby Lubitz. We'll take your telephone calls at 866-801-0940, 866-801-0940. The other story that is getting a lot of steam, Luby, although it doesn't necessarily associate the Miami Dolphins with this anymore, Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, oof.
Apparently, according to all reports, absolutely finito, el finito, when it comes to his days with the Houston Texans. Who else is El Finito? Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees, El Finito?
If either of them plays again, I think it'd be against their own, anyone in their families. Like, I don't know who could advise them to play again outside of them just being stubborn. Like, they both look done. They both have good teams around them. Both have teams that I think would have been better served if they weren't there, like, point blank. Like, they got in the way of both of their teams. They just did.
This Kamara has some...
he's great.
You know, just his general gait out there on the field, you're thinking, wow, that is one hell of an athlete, huh? Kamara for the New Orleans Saints, fantastic.
Well,
yeah,
Michael Thomas didn't have one catch yesterday.
Weapons.
Like, he was there, he was healthy, he was fine, but Breeze can't get it to him. Like, Breeze can't get it past 5 to 10 yards.
It was Kevin Coyle, the former defensive coordinator of the Dolphins that we referred to as El Finito before his team started giving up 50 a game. Because they were doing well before that, were they not? We might have single-handedly helped get this guy fired with his affinity for the show. Kevin Coyle, who I believe was out of football after
ever
that
since.
Altogether.
Like, I don't think he's had a job since.
Dan Johnson is going to be named coach of the Lions.
Dan Johnson Campbell, was the
Campbell.
Guy.
Why did I say
was the Olympian?
Don Johnson was
the Olympian. No, wasn't Dan Johnson
Campbell.
The Olympian?
Yeah. I don't know why I said that.
You did the commercials.
Dan Campbell. Yeah, he was in the commercials. Didn't he have like...
Yes.
He was doing a pole vault or something.
He would run around the world, and like it was that whole thing. Dan and Dan.
Okay. I knew it was somebody in sports with that name, Dan Johnson. But nonetheless, Dan Campbell, former Dolphins interim coach. I didn't realize he coached 12 games that year. Went 5-7. That was the 2000... It wasn't that long ago, Luby. That's only 2015. 5 years ago, Dan Campbell was coaching the Dolphins.
It was Philbin.
5-7, interim coach. And then had no shot of getting the actual job. That's when they brought in Adam Gase, wasn't it?
Yes.
Dan Campbell?
He's the one that did the Oklahoma Gates drills.
Yeah. Remember what kind of maniac he was, and the people loved him. I had him doing tug of wars
yes,
out
yes.
there. Okay, all you fat guys from the O-line, grab a rope.
They're doing war games.
You didn't know if you were watching an NFL practice or the Superstars competition. You're waiting for Joe Frazier to fall to the bottom of the pool. Doomed Al Campanis in the process. Talk about wackos. Phil Spector checked out. Phil Spector. You remember Phil Spector?
Yeah, well, I watched the doc that Al Pacino portrayed him.
Oh, man.
Or the film.
What a whack job. Phil Spector. Wall of Sound. That was his thing. Very innovative as a musical producer, including the Ronettes. That was one of his big groups, the Ronettes. Bye, do you want to be my baby? Something like that. Be My Baby. And produced the song You've Lost That Love and Feeling, which was the most played song on radio for like decades. And of course was my wedding song. I walked down the aisle to that. There's another strike with the Mustang. This is going to be a painful afternoon. All right, we're coming back with more. 866. I can't believe she heard all that about the dishwasher.
I love she never listens.
Thanks, Linda, for walking me right into a left hook in a corner. Who would figure your wife's listening to the show? Like, that's the last person.
She really hasn't listened in like 3 years. She really listened the first like 8 months, and she hasn't listened since. So that's funny.
Because she gets shredded on the show here for the treatment of Luby. 866-8. Well, no, she's a savior for you. 866-801-0940.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Cordy. Oh, yeah. You would have been face down in a gutter years ago if it wasn't for Shirley. 866-801-0940 on the phone lines. We'll take your call, see what you thought about the NFL games and anything else on the sporting slate or any walk of life. Water of life? Walk of life. Back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
What's he talking about? It's 9:24.
Hear me. I am your new president. From this day on, the official language of San Marcos will be Swedish. Silence! In addition to that, all citizens will be required to change their underwear every half hour. Underwear will be worn on the outside so we can check. Furthermore, all children under 16 years old are now 16 years old.
What's the Spanish word for straitjacket?
Power has driven him mad.
Welcome back to The Defoe Show.
Life imitating art. Is that what we're looking at here in 2021? Seems pretty close there. Bananas, Woody Allen. What was that, late 70s, that movie, Luby?
Yep.
Remember when I first asked you to find something from me? You said, what? When are you talking about bananas? Brilliant movie.
Right.
Well ahead of its time. All right, we have a lot more to do in the program. We'll make some room for your calls, as we said, 866-801-0940, 866-801-0940. If you'd like to join us here on the phone lines, Dan Campbell, former Dolphin coach, briefly the Dolphins interim coach, did not get that much consideration. Did you feel they ever were considering having him as the full-time coach? Went 5-7 after replacing Smoking Joe Philbin in the 2015 season. Smoking Joe took him out to a 1-3 start. They finally said, that's it! I've had enough! And Dan Campbell was an improbable choice, was he not? He was kind of like, what?
He's the same guy he is now. He was like the tight ends coach, but he had much less experience at that point.
Real old school, like a militaristic type of approach that he had. And the people loved it, right? He was the kind of guy that would bust a beer bottle on his head to motivate the team. And then go out there. And what did he do? We had them like pulling like a world's strongest men competition. Yes. Going out there at practice. They were pulling tractor trailers with a chain that was inserted into their teeth. Unbelievable what he had these guys doing. Oklahoma drills, was he back to that too? That was considered
cruel and unusual. In the NFL in like a decade.
And it was like a hazing, right? Like they did, unfortunately, with the FAMU band. That particular drill was ugly. I don't mean to laugh at that because that was some serious stuff. But, wow, I mean, they may as well just take oars out, start paddling a guy as he goes through the middle. Dan Campbell going to be the coach of the Lions. Where is your Eric Bieniemy? Sala was deemed to be.
The Texans have interviewed him, and suppose a lot of people are saying he may be the front runner there. That's why all this Watson stuff I find interesting, because Watson wanted him. So if they somehow go and bring in Bieniemy, I wonder if that softens things a little bit.
My New York Post today said the Jets should be all in to get Deshaun Watson. Everybody else in the league has the same opinion, Luby, that Deshaun Watson would be worth anything you had to give up.
But he has no trade clause, so he can say, I don't want to go there.
Well, maybe he would with a new coach there and maybe a new approach. Deshaun Watson. No, he was watching Sam Darnold get killed, huh?
Exactly.
But if they take, somebody big like that kid from Oregon in the first round of the draft, they already have Deshaun Watson. Oh, no, they wouldn't be able to.
Oh, they would lose that pick. They would keep their 23rd pick. A lot of people are saying they would lose the second pick.
All right. Hey, probably not going to happen anyway, would you think? Do you stick with Sam Darnold? What would you do there, Sam Darnold? Give him another shot with a new coach, new offensive coordinator. It was like his fifth one in a couple of years.
Yeah, exactly.
What was the quarterback whispering in his ear and Ryan Tannehill when he was with the Dolphins? What was the message there from the quarterback whisperer, I wonder? And who can describe for me what kind of condition they would expect the Pistons to show up in this afternoon at the American Airlines Arena after a weekend off, despite the restrictions that were laid out by Adam Silver? I would have to think at least half of these guys snuck out and spent the night on the town, no? On Saturday night after beating the Heat by 20 for their third win of the season? You're going to tell me these young guys just said, oh, you know what? I think I'll order a pizza and stay in a room. Not happening. All right, back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
I mean, this is Rudy Gobert City, is it not? The spread of COVID-19 around the NBA. Very, very rough start to the season. It's 9:33. You've lost that love and feeling, which I marched down the aisle to on two occasions. It was one of those, Karen, that was all we had. That was all they had. They only had a couple of musical choices, none of which were particularly good.
I feel like that says something if that's all you can walk through the aisle.
You never close your eyes. That part's good. But when the chorus starts and everybody's singing in the audience, you've lost that love and feeling.
There is nothing better than Defo. It's now time for The Defo Show.
Welcome back to the show on this Peel Yourself Off the Mat Monday, Martin Luther King Day. Hope you guys are enjoying a day off from work. We're happy to be with you here on 940 Winds, 1230 The Zone, around the world on the iHeartRadio app. The Greek, who is quickly becoming among the hardest working men in all of show business, will be with you today live, not even taking the holiday off. They're closed up there, right? West Palm Beach, the offices?
Usually.
What about where you are, Mike Luby? Lubitz, closed?
The offices here seem to be closed. There's really no one else besides some of the people from the morning shows. In West Palm, I think the whole place shuts down. So it's interesting, Greek is that staunch a worker that he's doing his shows even without that.
Yes, the follow-up to the divisional playoffs. I mean, you had four football games deciding who was going to be in the Final Four, narrowing the field down before you get to the Super Bowl game. After what's been, I would have to say, I enjoyed the entertainment over the weekend. The fact that you had four games working was a nice way to kind of set up your social calendar. Went out a little bit last night to a place on Federal Highway, a place called Legends. Well run. I mean, very safe. Actually ended up inside. And very good. And watching the beginning of that game, first half of that game between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the New Orleans Saints. It was all Saints early, wasn't it, Luby? I mean, you thought the Saints should be well ahead in that ball game, and yet they couldn't pull away. 13-13 at halftime. Saints get on the board in the third quarter, and it looks like all the momentum has gone in their direction. And the next thing you know,
that fumble. They were up a touchdown moving down the field. Like, that was a big play. They looked like they were going to go right down, get a touchdown, go up two scores. in the middle of the third quarter, and sort of that was going to be all she wrote, and Jared Cook fumbles it, and the Bucks go right in and score from that, and then it was all Bucks after that.
That guy looked distraught on the sidelines. Was it Cook that fumbled the ball?
Yeah, it was Jared Cook.
Whoever did.
Yeah.
He looked distraught. He knew that that was trouble, and it turned out to be exactly that. Drew Brees in a ball game, what could be his final ball game, 134 passing yards and three interceptions. 134 and three. Mike Luby Lube. It's not exactly a stellar performance. I mean, reminiscent of Brett Favre having his final pass as a professional being picked off at a dreadful moment in that ball game as the Giants were beating Green Bay in the NFC Championship game and earned the right to go on. And then that was the year they eventually won the Super Bowl, did they not? One of those Eli Manning miracles, the Giants beating Green Bay. Did they knock off the undefeated Packers that year? It starts to blend together after a while. But nonetheless, have we seen the last of Drew Brees? And if so, that Drew Brees had some influence on this Dolphin team. And we addressed this in the Deal Volkswagen the Forest Files today. How bozoic was that decision there to pass on Drew Brees? Not just in the Culpepper situation where it was one of two guys that they were going to take. And Nick Saban, could he still be coaching the Dolphins today if Drew Brees had come here? Or the other factor that's in play is it possible that any quarterback that came to the Dolphins since Marino was doomed, including possibly, I don't want to say it, Libby, I don't want to condemn the kid after 1 year. Is it possible there's a curse on any quarterback that has tried to take the reins of the Miami Dolphins after Danny Boy retired because they had the blasphemous position that they were going to allow Dan Marino to go to Minnesota and that he on his own decided, you know what, I can't do that. I'm a Dolphin through and through. No loyalty, no kind of possible acknowledgement from the Dolphins organization of the greatness of Marino. We wanted to play another year, and they said, I don't know, Danny Boy. And you would have thought, anything would be better than seeing him end up as a Minnesota Viking. So, and ever since then, right, every quarterback doomed. Didn't matter how good they were. And they've gone elsewhere and prospered, many of these guys, including Chad Henne, who's still in the league and was a functional part of whatever Kansas City did to keep the time churning on the clock and stave off a comeback by the Cleveland Browns, who would have left me in a position to hedge off my bet that I had at 30-1. What a... You can't imagine how frustrated I was, Luby. I wasn't really thinking about it that much because I was assuming Kansas City would beat them. But the 10 points naturally were tempting. You were on top of that, Luby.
They covered. I said the Chiefs will win. I could see the Browns covering late. Which actually wasn't the case. The Browns almost won outright.
At every chance, they kept converting those fourth down
situations. The momentum, yes. That second fourth down, it was like, okay, the Chiefs will stop them here. Come on, Chiefs. I don't know why, but for some reason, I was rooting for the Chiefs. I have nothing against the Browns, but I just the Patrick Mahomes thing is so fun to watch. It's rare to have, like, football. It's not that football's not fun, but, like, basketball, you get behind stars, and you see the stars do crazy things. And football, a lot of the time, the quarterback is the guy, but it's the receiver's doing all the fun things. To have a quarterback be like Favre, where he's doing all this crazy stuff, I've gotten behind Patrick Mahomes. So I was rooting on the Chiefs, and I'm like, what is going on with this game? Like, the Chiefs' defense was great the first half. In the second half, it was like they couldn't stop the Browns until that last drive when the defense finally woke up again and played great.
Yeah, I mean, that should have been something that was going to bode well for me and my chances of cashing this bet. Because you'll remember, and Jason Cole came on when I announced that Cleveland was my secret sleeper team to win the AFC, and it seemed rather improbable, although that was also a wager that was made when they had Odell Beckham Jr. in their lineup, which they did not have. But they came back, and they found a way to get some kind of groove going offensively, held to 17 in this ballgame by the Kansas City Chiefs, and were victimized by a couple of bizarre things also, right? They had like a binary fumble that went through the end zone and was a touchback when they were down around the one-yard line. That could have been a big swing in that ball game. Think about that, Mike Luby-Lubitz. There's seven more points. We win it 24-22. Yeah. Cleveland puts me then in a lock situation against the Buffalo Bills, as all you would have to do is lay off a dime on the Bills, and you could do no worse than winning $1,000 for that 100 I put up. Instead, like much of my money, what would it be? Would it be Cheech or Chong that was smoking a giant spleef in the truck in Up in Smoke?
I would say it was Chong.
That's where my money went, yeah, for sure. Green Bay looked awfully good, I would have to say. I mean, I know that's kind of a generic, cliche-like way to go ahead and try and depict what happened out there. But, wow, and the telepathic communication. We talked about this with Shannon Spake, the lovely Shannon Spake of Fox TV, joined us earlier in the program. And did you see this? I mean, you had to be a lip reader to figure it out. But they zoomed in on Aaron Rodgers, and he would just give like a wink and a nod, and the next thing you know, boom, he's throwing it down the field for a touchdown pass to a wide-open guy.
Yep.
Great stuff. What wouldn't you do to get Deshaun Watson? You're the only guy in the league that observes the league, Mike Lubielewicz, that doesn't think this is a good move to get this kid.
I think it's a good move if you don't have to mortgage your future. I don't think you should have to give up two first-rounders this year, that's what that people like. The giving up of Tua is already giving up a first rounder. It's giving up a high.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to say about Tua, he wasn't horrible. Like, he wasn't Jeff George. You know, like, the dude showed promise.
He didn't look like a bozo.
Wasn't Herbert. That's the problem. If Herbert and Burrow didn't do what they did, no one would be so low on Tua. The problem was.
I like that. If the only other two quarterbacks that were taken around that time in the draft weren't as good as they are, you would think
like
your guy, who didn't show much.
But,
yeah, boy.
But he
Where are you getting
horrible.
This logic from, man? Did you take some kind of weird logic at FSU?
I don't know. He wasn't horrible. He was okay, and everything around him should have had him be horrible. So to me, that was promising. Like, you getting Tua is already something, let alone you get Tua, and then you get another first-rounder, then you get a second-round. Like, to give up two first-rounders and Tua to me seems like a lot. And then Tua's going to go there and watch Tua's great there. Then how's that trade going to look? When Watson already has a huge deal, if you get Watson, fine. I mean, the guy's elite. The guy's a really good quarterback. He's already shown you he's not going to win without help. Okay, and you're with his contract and now losing all the draft picks, how much more help can you bring in?
The New York Post writers all over the idea they should go all in, and get Deshaun Watson and get rid of Darnold and give up that number two pick that they have. The Chargers hire Brandon Staley.
Yeah, I don't know.
A 38-year-old defensive coordinator from McVay's coaching tree now. McVay, who's about 28 himself, already has spawned about seven different coaches in head coaching positions in the NFL. He's a modern-day Bill Walsh. Brandon Staley ends up as the head coach of the Chargers. I'm thinking your man Bieniemy gets shut out this year, which would mean he had interviewed for seven jobs previously the last 2 years as part of this whole Rooney Rule movement. And I believe he's interviewed for at least four or five jobs this year. Now, they can't do anything because he's still involved in the playoffs, Bieniemy, which is a weird rule, is it not? Could you be lame duck as a head coach in the NFL where you've got a new head coaching job but your team is still alive so that you don't run into a crunch where, because he's in the playoffs and could go to the Super Bowl, he may be penalized and lose an opportunity to get a head coaching job? Eric Bieniemy, who everybody had said this was going to be the year, not happening so far. Does Saleh qualify as a minority hiring under the Rooney Rule? He does?
Yes. They're counting him as a person of color getting a job. He's now the fourth person of color currently a head coach in the NFL, is what they're saying.
And the whole system looks a little weak the way these jobs are being doled out, including the guys that have never coached in the NFL before, but... Also, Dan Campbell gets the head coaching job with the Lions. Was that the biggest long shot on the board? Campbell, former Dolphins interim head coach, went 5-7 2015, replacing the legendary Dolphin coach, smoking Joe Philbin. Dan Campbell, everybody liked him at first, right? He rallied that team from 1-3, and they won a couple of games. And then they reverted back to being a Dolphin, so that whole business of having the tug of war out there and looking like you're conducting a superstars competition didn't work. All right, so we're coming back with more in a moment. I'm Jeff DeForest. He's Mike Lubielewicz on his Martin Luther King holiday. Looks like a beautiful day shaping up here in South Florida. I hope you guys get a chance to enjoy it. If you're off today, get out there, get a little sunshine in, and take in some of this cool weather. And we'll be back to wrap things up. The Greek coming your way at 3 o'clock this afternoon on 940 Winds. We'll wrap things up in a moment. Now that.
The time.
The VP of PP, Rick Spielman. It's 951.
I have never, ever, since I've managed, ever told a pitcher to throw at anybody, nor will I ever. And if I ever did, I certainly wouldn't make him throw at a 130 hitter like LeFay or Bavacqua, who couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat. And I guarantee you this, when I pitched and I was going to pitch against a fucking team that had guys on it like Babacqua. I sent a fucking limousine to get the sucker to make sure he was in the motherfucking lineup because I kicked that sucker's ass any fucking day in a week.
Welcome back to The Defoe Show.
A good friend of Annie believes that that's up there with the Valvano speech, "Don't you ever give up," while the guy is suffering from brain cancer on the ESPY Awards. You know he's going to check out soon and still has the bravado to go out there and tell people, go out there and live your lives. Of course, Lou Gehrig, today, I feel like the luckiest man on the face of the earth while he's facing imminent death himself. And then Annie puts the Lasorda Bavacqua speech up there.
Right there.
Well, it was a great speech. I mean, it was more of a rant, like you said. I don't know if it qualifies as one of the great sports speeches. Certainly, all of those pale in comparison to,
"I will never lose another game again. I will play as hard as any."
Oh, my God.
I love your hatred for that. I love...
That was the worst wimpdom kvetching I've ever heard, the crybaby. All right, so you lose a game. Go out there, play better next time. Come on, Timmy. Pick it up. All right, and they eulogize this guy for that, huh? I mean, is that proper? He's not dead. Do you have to be dead to be eulogized?
Yes,
I guess so.
Honestly, what a eulogy is.
They deified him.
I mean, they
made him into a god.
Yes, that's true.
"I will never lose again. I won't cry on the sidelines anymore."
Get out of here, Tim, huh? Take your entourage and just get the bleep out of here. All right, we have to run. It's been a pleasure being with you. I hate to end on a negative note here because we had such a good time today. Our thanks to the lovely Shannon Spake for joining us here on the program. For Mike Luby Lubitz, you guys have a great day. Stay safe out there if you're running into those wheels up, guns down guys. Polyman is not part of that contingent. He wanted to clarify that for Saturday that he will not be running around the streets of Miami on an ATV doing wheelies while going the opposite way in traffic. So let's hope everybody stays safe out there. Have a good one and an observance of a great American, Martin Luther King. Have a great holiday. I'm Jeff DeForest for Mike Luby Lubitz, the Greek at 3 o'clock this afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 as we leave you now that.
The time.
Almost hate to go. It's 9:59.
Let's go to eat a damn snack.
Look what they done to my show.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.